Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. That is the track Cabin Fever by Oren Devlin. And I've got the man himself in the studio. Oh, coming close to the mic.
Good morning,
there we go.
Aaron.
Morning. Thank you for racing up from Raglan Medical, where you are. We're saying you're the practice manager at the moment.
I am at the moment, yes.
So probably important things to do.
Busy man, busy man.
You're allowed out to do an interview for
okay.
15 minutes.
This is my morning tea, so that's all right.
So you're going to be at Live and Local. Presumably the track Cabin Fever is a track you'll be playing.
I actually wasn't going to play it. Reason being I've the last two I've done, I've played that track. So it's like, not that I gig this stuff that often, but I might, because some of the other tracks that I'm putting together haven't quite come together on time.
Okay.
So I might pull it out of the bag.
Well, people, but you know the thing, like if there's a song you're familiar with when you're at a gig, you enjoy it in a different way to something that you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
And that's the one that gets the crowd going. See?
Yeah. As you heard, it's not a very riveting song, but it's it wouldn't get them going. But hopefully they're
But it creates a mood. Is it? And I was going to ask, is it related to COVID and the lockdowns?
No, it's not actually. I mean, I wrote that song nearly 10 years ago, and it's the only one that I ever recorded that I was kind of happy with the recording of.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I did it with a group of guys. We did a session at an old castle in County Down in Ireland.
Yeah.
That was converted into a studio. And there was five of us, and we all brought a song each.
Yeah.
And then we all just kind of played on each other's songs, and we just spent the weekend there. And it was really cool session, lots of fun. It was just before I moved to New Zealand, so it was kind of like a little parting gift to myself, sort of. You know, all my friends who were all songwriters, I'd say we all just got together and made it happen. And so it's actually, what it's about is the Cabin Fever. The Cabin was a band that I was in for a long time. And towards the end of that time in that band, it just got very kind of claustrophobic and just different personalities and all of that. You know, we wanted kind of, we were all heading in different directions. We were, you know, we started when we were like 16
we were
mid-20s by the time I wrote that song. I'd left the band at that point and kind of started writing my own stuff. And that was one of the first, that was one of the songs of the time that I was like, that I still still stand over, you know. A lot of them I've let go.
They don't
speak to me anymore, you know. I've kind of there's a couple, don't we? There's one or two of them that I'll be doing tomorrow, you know. But they don't resonate in the same way, you know. A lot of them don't resonate in the same way, and I find it hard to sing about something if I don't feel that way, you know. That's why I can always find that interesting with like those really uber successful bands. Like,
I'm thinking about Mick Jagger singing about girls in his 80.
And how does he do Satisfaction with conviction every you know, every night?
Maybe he is satisfied. I couldn't speak to the rock star experience as an elderly rock star.
No, and I guess, I mean, that's a different. You know, where I'm not comparing myself to Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones.
There's a certain financial incentive for him to be doing that.
Well, people buying tickets to see the Rolling Stones, you know, what's one of the jokes that I actually say in my set is, you know, they're not buying it to hear the new material. You know, they're going to hear Brown Sugar
and how would that be?
Yeah.
You sound like you wouldn't like to be forced to play the songs from your early
20s. I wouldn't.
20s.
That's the thing. Like, you know, that's why I admire bands like Radiohead and stuff like that, who, you know, like, they, you know, if you go see Radiohead live, they're not playing Creep, you know, they're not playing anything off the bands, they're playing their more current material, for better or worse. Not everyone's into that, you know. A lot of people, when they think of Radiohead, they think of those albums or those earlier tracks.
But that's the deal with
them. If you're, you know, if you've come along for the ride with a band like Radiohead, it's all about the next thing, you know.
Yeah. Now, I had a question, and it's a slightly silly question, but when you were talking about your band in Ireland, like, it feels like, is everyone in Ireland a musician?
It certainly felt that way.
Yeah.
I think probably the main difference between Ireland and New Zealand is it's double the population and half the landmass.
Right.
So everyone's a bit closer. So it's a little bit easier to find musicians, I think we're quite fortunate in Raglan, obviously.
It attracts
sort of creative people from all walks.
Yeah.
So I certainly haven't had any issues kind of finding musicians and that in Raglan, but you know, the a, I'd say with the, you know, I'm not saying Raglan's unique in that regard, but with the exception of like Auckland, Wellington, and maybe some other places in and around the country, I'd say that it's a bit harder. Oh, Christchurch as well has got quite a good sort of songwriter scene as well, and around Littleton and that, but I feel we're a bit more spread out, you know, and that just makes it a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you've been involved with bands in and around Whangaroa?
How
many?
Over the years, first one was Mighty Mighty, which we did for a long time.
Seven. Which still technically exists?
No, not really. Not really, no, okay. No.
Last time I saw you guys was at, I think it was our 25th anniversary show that we did.
Yes, that was probably one of the last shows that we did, actually. We did, because that was just before the whole COVID thing. We did one. So the Christmas before COVID, we kind of just all sort of went our separate ways. But we've come back in various.
I saw something called Mighty Lighty on a poster.
Yeah, that was just. We did the On the Corner gig. By Ulo's. That was just a name to put on a poster, basically, you know.
I presumed it was like half the band or something.
Yeah, well, it was kind of the band minus the singer, Deli.
Yeah.
And so we were just doing the instrumental stuff. And then we had Ashley Knox on guitar as well. So, we're still all mates, and, you know, there was no ill will or anything like that. It was just one of those things. Bands, I think most bands have a shelf life, you know.
Okay.
In my experience, it seems to be somewhere between 4 and 7 or 8 years, you know, and usually by about year six, it's kind of ran its course.
That part of, like, when you're creating music, there's a level of cross-pollination that occurs with different people, and you might have explored all of that by the time's up?
I don't know. I think it's just down to us as humans, you know, like, we all kind of grow, you know. I'm not uberly spiritual or anything, but, you know, someone told me about Saturn's cycle one time, you know, how, like, every 7 years Saturn comes into it.
I've heard about the 7 year cycle.
And I think it might have something to do with science as well, in that, you know, is it like the oldest cell in our body is something like 7 years old?
Then it's renewed. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's...
You're actually a completely different person.
I'm a completely different person, you know. And I think, you know, you just kind of, you evolve and you change, and sometimes you all change and go in the same direction, and sometimes you change and go in different directions, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's my observation of it anyway.
I guess for those bands that get really huge and they're touring the world, they're suddenly having unique experiences that only they and their bandmates have.
Yeah.
So that is going to, like, unify the life experience quite seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Those big bands and those big acts, it's a different...
Although they still break up, just in a more spectacular method.
Absolutely. And for every Rolling Stones, there's 10 Led Zeppelins who didn't go the distance. And, you know, like, so it's like, you know, there's only a handful of those bands that kind of sustain that level of, you know, success. And usually there's lineup changes within that, and personnel, you know. As I say, the Stones, apart from people who've recently passed away, you know, they were a fairly steady lineup for 40 odd years. Yeah. Even U2 now have changed drummers because their drummer's not well, and, you know. So
his body just can't handle it, giving way,
you know.
Yeah. Does U2 hold a special place for Irish people, or do they get a bit too big?
No, it's a bit like, it's different strokes. I think U2 are, for fans of U2, it doesn't matter where you're from, you know. I think like, there are uber U2 fans in Ireland, but there's lots of people that just go, oh god, I hate U2.
I'm so sick of it.
I'm in the latter, like, you know, like that. I like, there's a couple of good albums, a couple of good songs, you know, and stuff that I still, but you know, Bono's a tough pill to swallow.
he's happy to put himself out there and whatever people think, he kind of doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't need to care, you know.
Well, this is true, actually. he can't insulate himself from all of that if he wants to.
He's fine. He's not losing any sleep over the fact that I don't like him, so, you know.
No. But back to being like it. You have a proper job and everything. So
a real job, mate. Unfortunately, you know, that's, you need, you know, that's the probably the challenge in New Zealand is I think if you wanted to be full-time music,
yeah,
you have to do lots of, you know, like most of the people that I know that are full-time in music, you know, they teach music, they, you know, they gig, yeah, the multiple bands and maybe doing arranging, or, you know, there's a lot.
There's very few people I talk to a lot of bands, mm-hmm, and there's very few Kiwi bands who are, yeah, who are able, been able to quit the day job.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, don't get me wrong, even in Ireland, I wasn't, towards the end, before I left, I was able to kind of pay rent and you know, but that, yeah, took a really long time, and I had zero commitments, you know, whereas now I've got a family and a mortgage and, you know, you know, so it's like, you know, that, those are the trade-offs, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, the real job's fine, but it's just, yeah, it's...
And I think the trouble with New Zealand too is you can only tour the country
so many times,
before you've...
Yeah.
Again, sometimes people text me a question relating to the interview.
Okay.
And sometimes it's about the previous interview. I'm like, well, we'll deal with that one later. Did your man ever play the Russian dub in Galway, if I pronounced that correctly?
I have played the Russian dub in Galway, actually. Okay. Yes, yeah. Once I played with a band called Toucan, which was probably the most kind of successful band I was in Ireland.
Yeah.
We were an instrumental band, which was, you know, interesting in that, you know, we were sort of half successful. I came in, I wasn't the original bass player, so I came in sort of later on in the piece, but yeah, we had some great gigs. Right. So I played Rosie and Dove once. Yeah, it was good fun.
What's special about that? Why is...
Oh, it's just one of those venues, you know. It's, you know, it's kind of like a rite of passage, I guess.
You feel like you've stepped up the ladder.
It's not pub rock anymore, you know. It's like, even though it's got a pub, but it's a venue as well, you know. It's just, yeah, one of those kind of, can't remember, is it quite as big as the Power Station? Maybe not quite as big, but sort, okay, of almost heading in that direction, right, if, okay, I remember right, you know. So yeah, we had lots of fun in with that band. It was a great spot.
Some of the local musicians I talked to, COVID and the lockdowns was a great opportunity for them to write albums, sometimes multiple albums. Mm. But I was
working in primary health, mate.
So yeah, it was the opposite. You were
the opposite direction.
Yeah,
I've never had less time, you know.
Yeah, it was the same here, yeah, with what, yeah, I was doing.
And I was fine, you know. You buy the ticket, you take the ride,
but it felt like you were doing important stuff during that time.
Oh, it was just, you know, it was monumental, like, you know, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, once in a generation kind of stuff, really, hopefully.
Well, the last one like that was actually like 100 years ago, so exactly. Hopefully it's a
once in a century type thing, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think for me, I've kind of set myself a little goal of, I've been busy, you know, and I mean, we're all busy, so I can't really use that as an excuse. I know people that are just as busy that put out material sort of regularly.
Yes. Yeah.
So I've kind of set myself a goal. End of June, I'm going to release an EP. That's kind of the plan.
Yeah.
Mostly self-produced, I think, for the most part, but I will be getting in a few ringers, you know, for help, and people that can play guitar better than I or play piano better than I or whatever.
So you're working on these tracks at the moment?
So I'm sort of, yeah, that's kind of tomorrow night a couple of those tracks will be like kind of the first time, or one of them definitely is the first time I would have done it out.
Try them on an audience.
Just try them out.
Is that a little bit of nervy time?
It is. It is. And again, yeah, it's like, it's that thing, like for me, as I say, a lot of my stuff's quite personal. So it's that, it's very exposed, you know, and at least on an EP, nobody's kind of looking at you and you're, you know, so that's the goal. I mean, there's still a bit of, I kind of need to get into the nuts and bolts of it very soon, because it's mid-April now, so it's not that far away. But I'm pretty confident that if I kind of dedicate a couple of weekends to it, I'll get 90% of the way there, and then it's just about tidying up and fine tuning.
How obsessive you get with it?
I'm not going for hi-fi, you know. I'm not. Yeah, okay. I'm not. I'm not. you know, it's an EP, and I'm not really planning on doing anything with it.
Are you just like recording at home in the basement or something?
Yeah, I've got a garage with, you know, you know, over the one good thing about working full time is you're able to afford nice things.
You're able to afford a garage that no one's sleeping in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I'm able to buy, you know, nice speakers and microphones and things like that. So, but I don't have the time to use it. That's the problem. So that's so now I'm making time.
Do you have the time to get to know the equipment?
Not really. So that's another reason why I'm doing this EP is to kind of, I mean, I the stuff I use live, you know, I play bass in quite a few bands and playing at Ulo's tonight and stuff. So the stuff I use live, I get plenty of opportunity in terms of bass, but studio equipment, not so much, you know. Okay. So that's, yeah.
You mentioned Ulo's. Remind us what happened. Is that a thing that's regular on Thursdays?
That's regular every Thursday. Yeah, every Thursday night there's someone there. You know, at least two or three people there. So the kind of core group is Freddie Limbert on drums, Ashley Knox on bass, and Cameron Olson on guitar.
Oh yes.
So it's three, and then I'm just subbing in tonight. So Ash will jump on the guitar. And I'll play bass and Freddie on the kit, and we do a slightly different set to those other guys as well. And then I sometimes play there. I had a band. We have a band called Sticky Chicken with Greg on piano, Greg Taylor, and Freddie. You know, Freddie's filled in for us on drums a few times. Our drummer left us just before Christmas there, or just after. So yeah,
And hard to get drummers.
Hard to get drummers. I mean, Freddie's always keen, you know. Freddie's great. So
there's like two drummers in Raglan mostly, and they seem to be in every band.
Boydy and Freddie, you know. Yeah. So it's one of those two, you know.
I'm sure there's some people out there who are just insulted.
Absolutely, yeah.
Traditionally, that's kind of
traditionally.
There's not enough.
Yeah, yeah. There's never enough drummers, you know. But Freddie's great, man. He's so much fun to play with. So you just, you know. I'm looking forward to that tonight.
And he does love to drum.
He does love to drum.
Yeah. It's his happy place.
Yeah. When he's mowing lawns, he's got his headphones on. He's listening to drumming or listening to music. You know,
it'd be funny if he was just listening to drumming.
Just drums. Just
maybe he is.
Maybe he is. I don't think so, though.
Okay. No. Hey, folks, we're talking to Oren Devlin and Live and Local Friday night. You're first on it.
I'm 7:30 tomorrow.
7:30, followed by Ruth Power.
Yeah.
And Naranai Renata, who is doing some taonga puoro. We were talking with her on Tuesday morning that. So yeah, some traditional Māori instruments, and you just need to go along and to see it to understand. Yes. I can't really describe it.
Yeah,
it's something different though.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be good fun.
Yeah, and when you've got your album ready, come see us.
I will do. I'll talk give about you a buzz. That. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. All right, Oren, thanks for coming in.
Cool, no trouble.
All right, folks, that is the end of the show for the day. Hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you again. What's today? Thursday. I'll see you tomorrow morning.